and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State. My goodness, it's snowing. Or it's been snowing in some parts of the state. And it's been, it's kind of nice to see, man, that we're actually getting a winter. We didn't really get a winter much last year downstate anyway. Didn't get much in the way of ice. It was kind of a difficult year. And this year, it's been a busy year for a lot of people, myself included. Our next guest, which we'll talk to in a second, has had a phenomenal year. So, and we'll talk to Richard P. Smith in just a moment, but we want to thank our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral for joining us this year. It's been another wonderful year with Lucky Buck. I think we're in year three, going into year four. Costa sunglasses, truly the best lenses and sunglasses I have ever owned. And our friends at Darton Archery, Michigan's own, just like Lucky Buck, Michigan made. And their whole new lineup for 2017 is just starting to trickle out at DartonArchery.com. And there's a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com, where you can pick up all the information on our guests and our podcasts as well. So make sure you go to the website and check that all out. Right now, without further ado, man having a phenomenal year, Richard P. Smith joins us right now, getting ready for the book tour. But let's just say this: from January to now, Richard, you're having a sportsman's just a unbelievable year.
Yeah, all those years of learning and experience have really paid off this year.
Man, oh man! So go through the year as to, you know, as some of the big events that have happened to you this year.
Well, this fall especially has been eventful. During mid-September, I was honored by receiving an award from the Michigan Outdoor Writers Association. It's called the Dave Ritchie Outdoor Communicator of the Year Award. Obviously, the award is named after Dave Ritchie. He was a longtime member of the Michigan Outdoor Writers Association. He was the outdoor writer at the Detroit News for 23 years before he retired. And Dave was a friend of mine and a mentor of mine, so the award was very special for me. He helped my career, and I was able to spend time hunting and fishing with Dave in the field. So it was a major honor getting that award from the Michigan Outdoor Writers Association. And then I had a bear tag starting September 25th in the UP, and I shot one of my biggest bears in the state on opening day in the evening. I was only in the stand for 2 hours and 15 minutes, and this big bear came out that I had trail camera photos of him, so I knew he was there. He weighed 345 pounds. Wow. He was an adult male, and his skull, I'm sure, will be large enough to qualify for state records. And then deer hunting, it continued on. For the first time in more than 50 years of deer hunting in the UP, I filled both of my buck tags before gun season even started.
Holy cow! Dude, that's, you know what, and people downstate where the hunting is usually, you know, very good, not seeing the numbers. Not, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine last night who was actually in the tree stand, usually seeing a good number of deer. This year, he said, it's been terrible.
Hmm. Well, certainly the weather was warmer in southern part of the state than in the UP. We did get some cooler, normal fall deer hunting weather in October and November, and it felt normal to be in a tree stand. But I took my first buck on Halloween. I took a 6-point on Halloween evening. And then on November 12th, I took a dandy 8-point, 4.5-year-old buck, weighed 200 pounds, had an 18-inch inside spread on his antlers.
Wow, that's a nice buck.
It's my best archery buck so far.
That's fantastic. So, I mean, and you still have a few weeks left of the year. I don't know what you got left.
Well, oh, I'm done hunting with firearms and bow, but I'm back to hunting with a camera like I do most of the year anyway.
You do, and you've created some wonderful things for us to watch, to read, to learn from. I know I've learned a great deal from you over the years. You know, you have the Walking with Whitetails DVD, and this is, and I'm going to bring this up because this is a must have. I've bear hunted, and I think the second time that I hunted bear was much better than the first because I had finally seen the Field Judging Black Bear DVD, and I think for anybody that's even contemplating or just has curiosity about field judging a black bear, because this is one of those animals that, you know, gets shrinkage, you might say.
Ground shrinkage is a common term. Bear hunters are very familiar with ground shrinkage.
Sure, but I mean, for those people that have been collecting preference points, and I'm going to talk about that topic in a second, but it, you know, I've been very fortunate to what I knew I was shooting at was a very big bear. But my equipment didn't cooperate with me that day. Touchy subject. But I knew, because of watching this video, I knew what I was looking at. And Richard, if you don't mind going through some of the topics that this covers.
Well, there are several easy methods that anyone can use to determine the size and sex of a bear on the DVD. The important things to remember for hunters is that males are much larger than females, at least older animals. They're longer in length from nose to tail, and they stand higher when on all 4 feet. So if you use a type of a ruler, like a stick or a log of a known length at a bait, say 5 foot or 6 foot in length, when a bear comes in and is standing next to that stick or log, you get a good idea of the length of that bear from nose to tail. If you see a bear that's more than 5 feet long from nose to tail, almost always that's an adult male. There are a few females that reach that size, but very few. And standing on all 4 feet, an adult male, a trophy class male, stands about 36 inches high. So if you're hunting with a 50-gallon drum, which is that same height, and a bear on all 4 feet is even with the top of that, you know you're looking at a trophy-class bear. But you can put a stake in the ground or measure 36 inches up on a tree near a bait to judge the height of a bear at a bait as well. Very simple, straightforward techniques.
Yeah, and it really did help, too. When I was in a tree stand, we had several different bear come in. That, you know, one was I knew was kind of small because it took him a few jumps to get at the bait bucket up in the tree. You know, okay, not touching you, but the other one, well, his belly was pretty much, you know, to the ground, and you could tell when he looked me straight in the eye as we were both on the ground at the same time. I knew how big he was. I had that advantage of 15 yards apart.
Right.
So, you know, but again, when you get in a tree stand and the excitement and adrenaline get moving of any kind of bear moving in, it changes. And we've seen guys in camp that happened to, you know, it looked bigger from the tree stand.
Sure.
You know, comment came up.
And if you only see one animal by itself and you don't have anything to judge it against, they look much larger than they are. And especially for those who hunt in the spring, a black bear's hair can be 6 inches long over its entire body in the spring after they come out of their winter dens. So a 150-pound bear looks more like a 250 or 300-pound bear with that hair length if you don't take that into consideration.
Yeah, it does. And another book that's very important to hunters, especially this time of year, is Tracking Wounded Deer.
Yeah, I get probably more compliments on that book than many of the others I've written. Every year, a number of hunters tell me they've used information in that book to help them recover deer that they otherwise would not have found.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, we have a little bit of snow on the ground down here right now, and you've had some up there. I mean, blood trails are all nice, but, you know, where the blood lies and where it's, you know, how much is there and is it coming out both sides? And there's a lot of things to look at, and that the book really helps with that as well.
Right, and it covers all the different scenarios, the different types of hits that hunters are normal encounter, and gives anecdotes about how deer were recovered with those types of hits as examples to follow.
All right, we're speaking with Richard P. Smith here, richardpsmith.com. We're going to talk to him more because why not go out in the middle of the winter to sign books and meet people, right? That's what he does every year. We're going to talk to him about the book tour coming up to your area, possibly here on Wild Michigan.
Michael Waddell's phone collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by Darton Archery. 2017 line starting to hit the pages of the interwebs. DartonArchery.com. There's a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Some new camo, some new designs, and some new prices. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that coming up here in the next couple of weeks to get a little taste of what's new for Darton Archery in 2017. Richard P. Smith, noted author, videographer, and photographer, joining us right now up in Marquette, getting ready for his book tour. But Richard, I want to go back to talking about bear hunting. The preference point issue, I mean, it takes a while to get preference points. Sometimes, like you said, 10 or 11 points in the lower portion of the state.
Yeah.
And the upper portion of the UP, like in the western, it's a little bit easier.
It is, and especially all of the UP bear management units have three separate starting dates for bear season to give as many people as possible an opportunity to bear hunt. Those who apply for that third and last hunt, there's less competition for those licenses, and in fact, they issue more tags for that third hunt than the first or second because the rate of success is lower. So anyone applying for that third hunt has an excellent chance of drawing.
And you know, what I found out, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you can start buying preference points for, like, your child the minute they're born. So maybe by the time they get older, they have them built up already.
I'm not sure about as soon as they're born.
But I mean, roughly speaking, because we talked to DNR about that. But it's just one of those things that, you know, they can start accumulating the preference points right away.
Yeah. And it's neat to have that opportunity for anyone that, if you don't think you can be able to hunt for a period of years, you can pay the $5 and get the preference point and not apply for a license until you accumulate enough that you know for sure you're going to be able to hunt.
Yeah, that's something I've been doing. Like I said, I'm on 9. I think this year it'll be 10 preference points for me. I've been waiting for a while to hunt bear in Michigan, although I've done it in Canada a couple times. I think getting a Michigan bear would be extra special because that would complete a personal slam. It's not going to be because my elk didn't score big enough. It'll be, you know, more of a personal thing, and which is
sure.
Perfect for me.
Yeah, exactly. There are not a whole lot of people in Michigan that have taken elk, deer, bear, in turkey, and of course the elk is the toughest one.
Right.
And you've already got that one out of the way.
Yeah, that was obviously weird enough the easy one because it was a last minute decision. Hey, do you want to buy an application for a tag? Sure, why not? Give me one.
And that's what you got to do to get one.
Exactly. It only takes one, and that's exactly what happened. So I guess I'm living proof. Richard P. Smith, noted author, photographer, videographer, joining us here. RichardPSmith.com is his website. Now, Richard, you are going to take to the road as you do every year in December. You start up north and work your way south,
right,
and then back north again. But you'll be starting in Traverse City, where we have some listenership up there, coming up this weekend.
Yeah, on Friday, tomorrow actually, at Horizon Books in Traverse City from 6 to 8 p.m. And then I go to Gaylord at Jay's Sporting Goods on Saturday the 10th from 11 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon.
Now, you'll be in Clare a little farther south Sunday and Monday at Jay's in Clare as well.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good time. Now, what I like is you always come down my way to Okemos Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You do a 3-day tour stop there, and it's going to be at Schuler Books and Music. Is at the Meridian Mall in Okemos.
Right. They're good people to work with, and it's a good location. Their people come from a large area to shop at the Meridian Mall,
mm-hmm.
So that's an excellent location. And some people can't make it. On one day, they've got 3 days to choose from.
And that'll be quite nice. You got Brighton coming up, Marquette, then back over to Escanaba 2 days before Christmas, and then back home with Lucy for some the long winter's nap, so to speak.
Yeah, well, in time for Christmas.
Exactly. So what is your 2017 looking like, Richard? I mean, it's been a phenomenal 2016, you know, there's a lot of things, I'm sure, that you've got already lined up and ready to go for next year.
Well, things as far as bear and deer hunting in Michigan, in the UP, it's looking even better for 2017. Bear license numbers have been reduced since 2012. We've issued 4,000 fewer bear licenses per year than we should be each of those years, and that allows the bear population to increase, but it also has a major negative impact on our deer population. Bears are important predators on fawns, and we have enough bears right now that bears are killing more fawns than hunters are taking in the fall.
Hmm.
Bears now take between 30 and 40,000 fawns per year.
Wow.
And in last fall, in the UP, during all deer seasons, the DNR estimates that UP hunters took less than 20,000 deer.
Wow, no kidding. That's a pretty heavy impact on the population. Then when you factor in weather and food supply and things of that nature, it really, really makes it difficult on the whitetail and the hunter.
Exactly. Now, wolves also have an impact, but we have no ability to manage wolves at the present time because they're listed under the Endangered Species Act, even though they are not endangered.
Sure.
But we can manage bears. We have the opportunity to issue more bear licenses, and I hope the DNR does that this year.
Well, I know
2017.
Yeah, they'll be meeting this week, and they met this week on Thursday, and we'll find out more about what the NRC discusses, and we'll keep an eye on that. And anything else coming up? Because it's been, like I said, for both of us, it's been a fantastic year. Yours more outdoors related than mine, but still very equally awesome.
Well, you got to Alaska. You can't get much more outdoors than Alaska.
No, you can't. I mean, Alaska absolutely was gorgeous. We did a 10-day cruise for our honeymoon, and it wasn't the interior of Alaska. It was more of the coastal region, but still, you get a much better picture of the state and the people and its surroundings even from there.
Right.
And it's just an amazing, amazing thing.
Yeah, I've been to Alaska a number of times myself, and it's such a big state. You've got to pick and choose what to see and do during one trip and do it on a number of trips in order to see much of the state.
Yeah, it's definitely been on a bucket list for me personally, and I tell you, the black bear is right up there too. So if I can get a Michigan black bear, I think I could be like really, really happy with my hunting career in such a short time.
Right. Well, I hope you're successful.
Yeah, so am I. Well, I appreciate it. Richard will be on the road here starting this week. And again, look for it online at richardpsmith.com or on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Richard, we wish you the best and safe travels.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. And I always enjoy talking to you, Durant.
Absolutely, Richard. Thank you so much. Our best to Lucy and a Merry Christmas if I don't see you.
All right. Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to talk more about hunting, fishing here in a little bit. We got a lot of stuff coming up. Going to speak with Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR as the DNR, if you have not heard, had to put down that elk that was floating around Clinton County. A lot of people unhappy about it, but you know what? There's some reasoning behind that. We'll tell you all about that coming up here in the next couple segments. David A. Rose will be next. You're listening to Wild Michigan, being brought to you by Darton Archery on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pull tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host. Find us all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com and appreciate you joining us on our many affiliates and the podcast as well. We're getting some snow. We didn't get really much ice last year. We talked about this with Richard P. Smith. Talked about it last week with Bro about scouting for your favorite ice fishing. But what about fish? What about something you've never tried to catch before? Like burbot. Everybody thinks Burbot, what the hell you want to catch that fur? You know, that's all I can think of right now is somebody saying that. But David A. Rose joins us right now. Burbot, eel pout, what else are they called, David?
Oh, you know, here in my neck of the woods near Traverse City, Michigan, they call them lawyers.
Lawyers?
I don't know why, yeah.
Because they're green, slimy, and...
I don't know.
And I got friends, and Bill Kortenbrock's yelling at me right now. I got friends that are lawyers, so they get it. It comes with the territory.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, you know, I was just actually looking them up here on the internet not too long ago because, you know, they're fun to catch, they fight hard, and they taste good. They're a natural fish here in the Great Lakes area and stuff like that. You know, there's festivals out west of here, and when you get into, like, Walker, Minnesota and that, they have the Eel Pout Festival, and it's their goal to catch those things, and not just to be funny, not just to say they caught the ugly fish, but, I mean, they're regarded as a wonderful fish in Minnesota, yet around here, we, excuse me, we sometimes foo-foo them, you know?
No, you could say poo-poo. We poo-poo the fish, and we don't know why. But because I remember, and it's funny that you bring that up. We were just talking about Bro. Bro and Heather. Bro's doll. We're out fishing, and they caught eel pout, and they're like, tasty. I'm like, what? What?
Well, I don't get it. I guess what people don't realize is it is a freshwater cod. So, you know, when you go to the grocery store, and they got cod on sale, and you say, ooh, cod, I like cod. You know, that kind of thing. Well, why not just catch your own right here in Michigan versus going to the deli and buying some frozen stuff, you know? But, yeah, it is a freshwater cod. Genus and species is the same. Lota, Lota, L-O-T-A, L-O-T-A. And I just think that's the cool name in itself. So,
you know, you just made me think of the Pacific, or the Atlantic sunfish.
Exactly.
It's like a moa moa or mola mola or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yes, I can't even think what it is. My.
No, it's a baby wheel, bro. That's what it is. But no, let's talk about how would one go about catching an eel pout, lawyer, burbot, whatever you want. Because again, okay, we've established their tasty table fare, but instead of by accident, how do you target these fish?
Well, number one, they live in cold water, and they like very cold water. In fact, they reproduce when the water is extremely cold, and around here, that's literally in the about the month of February, when water's at its coldest, especially towards the tail end of February there. That is when these lawyers, eel pout, burbot, that's when they spawn, and they spawn under the ice, obviously. So they like very cold water, so now you're going to have to target lakes that are deeper. Now, again, in my neck of the woods up here in the northwest lower, we got a lot of really deep inland lakes, Elk Lake, Torch Lake, Crystal Lake, yada, yada. So, and they're just like the Great Lakes themselves. And, of course, they are in Lake Michigan. They are in the Grand Traverse Bays. We catch them. But those don't always freeze over. So you have to rely on these inland lakes. And you jig them. You take some of these same big old jigs that you'd use for lake trout or walleye or something like that, tip it with a minnow, fish it near bottom, and they come in and they'll attack it.
Now, what is an average size for those? And, you know, as far as, you know, your weight of your line, are they particular to line? Are they, you know, skittish like some fish are with lines? And how heavy of a line can you use with these fish?
I mean, well, number one, you're targeting them out of fairly deep water. So you're going to get them anywhere from nearly to 100 feet deep on down past 100 feet. So, again, like when you're fishing lake trout or something. So you do need a little stiffer line, and that's basically just because when you set the hook, you have to be able to get a good hook set with all that line out. So, you know, really you can use medium heavy type action rods, you know, something like you'd use for walleye on Saginaw Bay or something like that. Some super line that's on the main part of the reel, maybe a nice 10-pound test fluorocarbon leader or something like that, just a short one-foot section. Now, again, the super lines and the fluorocarbon have very little stretch, make for a really good hook set. And, just start jigging them. Now, what's going to happen as the season wears on? Of course, we talked about they're going to start spawning. So if you know of some deeper, you know, deep water that maybe has a little shoal or a little hump or bump or something like that, a little gravel bar, that's where they're going to come up and start spawning. So you kind of target deep water very near these structures with underwater humps and bumps.
Interesting. Again, that's where we're talking about the eel pout or the burbot or the lawyer, depending on where you're at in the state or even the country, with David A. Rose here, a angler extraordinaire, outdoor writer and fishing guide. And, you know, and different is what I like. You know, I mean, I don't mind catching things different, but targeting something different, I think, makes for a more interesting year, depending, of course, how much ice we get.
Yeah, well, you know, we're very spoiled here, you know, in Michigan. We have nearly every species of fish that swims in the Midwest, you know, right here within our state lines. And so there's a lot of fish out there that are maybe not as popular. You know, we can, I guarantee you, we catch, you know, if the bays freeze up or something like that, we're going to be catching huge lake herring, or the Ciscos, or what they're also called. We've been doing really well in the spring and fall jigging those, and I guarantee you that'll happen through the ice. And, of course, whitefish and stuff like that. So there's a lot of really interesting fish, fine table fare, if that's what you're into, if you want to eat them. And, yeah, that are just, I won't say they're overlooked, but they're very regional.
Yeah, it is regional. Again, our friends in Minnesota that we, you know, we see them on the Facebook and they're targeting these fish. And again, it took me a while to figure it out and to figure out, yeah, that people do eat them and they're quite tasty.
Yeah, they're very tasty. They have a, you know, that burbot we were talking about, they're, I guess, imagine cleaning like a northern pike, not bone-wise, but you've got a good back strap along there and then and the tail sections all meet too, so... You know, they have a very large rib cage. It really extends upward and outward. So you're getting this, like, back loin. Mm-hmm. And once you hit that dorsal fin, you can flay the rest out. And, hey, you're eating cod.
Ah, that's quite interesting. David A. Rose, our guest here on Wild Michigan. Describe them. Because I've seen they're kind of like eel-like, obviously. Kind of greenish and long.
Yeah, they're greenish, tannish color. They are... They do have a resemblance to an eel just because they are a little longer, a little more slender, but they're not eels. But, you know, they just have, and they have, what makes them look eel-like, too, is they have a dorsal fin that starts, you know, up in the midsection of the back, and it literally extends all the way and turns into a tail. And then it kind of wraps around, and the anal fin down below does the same thing. So it's got that ribbon-like dorsal and anal fin that give it that eel-like appearance. If anybody's ever caught a bowfin or see what are those, what they call them, dogfish, which are a warm water species, I guess you could say they look a little bit like a bowfin. They're just longer. When we say slender, like I said, they got a big rib cage on them, big belly, but they're just not as wide as, let's say, a smallmouth bass or something like that. They just don't have that sunfish kind of shape to them.
Right. Now, on the average, how long or how big do they get?
We catch a lot of 5 and 6 pounders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're usually pretty decent size. I've seen them up to 10 pounds. I did a story for Field and Stream a few years ago. I'm going to say 2010, 2011, something like that. It just kind of came through on the internet here. If you look up, what do you got to look up? I got to think eel powder burbot on Field and Stream, or look up my name, David Rose. My articles will pop up, but. One of the Conrad brothers, either Sean or,
the other one.
Yeah, the other one. yeah, they landed the world's largest.
Really?
Up in Canada and stuff like that. It's just massive. You know, it's like 25 pounds.
Wow.
Or something like that. Yeah, it's they got some really cool pictures of it. So.
It's like a big sea monster coming out of the
Oh yeah. Now they're twin brothers and they live up there in Canada and they target world record fish. They're the brothers that one of them got the world's largest rainbow trout out of Lake Diffenbacher a few years back. That was in 2009, I do believe. And then after that, they just know big fish, and they knew where these big Lota-Lotas, the big burbot, would come in, and they targeted them and caught the world's largest one.
All right, David A. Rose is our guest here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, speak more with David. Got a lot of things going on today. Also, we're going to speak with Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR, and we're going to find out about that elk that had to be put down in Clinton County and how it got to Clinton County and what the reasoning was behind it. Here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State, brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Year-round, you can use Lucky Buck right now, a great time to get it out and help your bucks and your does recover from the hot, grueling rut, of course, late rut, probably going on in some spots around you. And we will talk with Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR. He is the Michigan Deer and Elk Herd Supervisor. Project manager, whatever. He's got a big title, and I can't remember it all the time, but we will get to him in a little bit. Right now, we're talking with David A. Rose, outdoor writer and fishing guide here. And David, with Christmas and the holiday season coming up, gifts are always difficult. And right now, actually, a couple of weeks ago is when stuff really started hitting the shelf for the winter fishing season.
It did. It did. Yeah, I mean, it's like you say, it's just starting to snow here, and everybody's getting eager, and it's good because all these things are showing up on the store shelves. And you know, Christmas time, if you got the hunter or angler in your life, I mean, it is, yeah, it can be difficult because you just don't know what your, you know, your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, if they're into hunting or fishing. Sometimes you think, well, don't they already have this? But there's a few things that no matter what, a few wrapped up a little few gifts and put them in the stocking, you know, as stocking stuffer, boy, it'd be just fine. And a lot of that, if you're an angler, just lures and terminal
right.
tackle
right.
and fishing line. And sure, you know, somebody may have a Rapala or a Bomber Long A already, but, you know, nobody complains when they have another one.
No, there's no complaint, especially some of the new stuff that comes out during the course of the year. Of course, the Shadow Wrap, if I remember correctly, was brand new this year. That we saw it for the first time at the Bassmaster Classic when I was in... Where was I? I was in Oklahoma this year.
Yeah.
Wow. It was only like a few months ago, and I don't remember the heck I was at. But the Shadow Wrap was something that really hit the market and hit it hard.
Yeah, it came in hard, and they marketed it well. It came out because it's really got a good bass following, so that's what they did, is they introduced it at the Bassmaster Classic at their show that they have there. So, of course, I saw it when I was at ICAST this last summer down in Orlando, Florida, and ICAST is the largest... fishing industry's largest show in the world, where every, you know, if you're a company, you come there and show off your new wares and stuff like that. So, and yeah, the list of lures, I mean, like I say, it's one of those things. If your honey bunny fishes and you don't know what to get them, just go up and down the fishing lure aisle and grab a couple. Even if you think they look pretty or not, it doesn't matter. No, nobody complains about having too many lures.
No, absolutely not. And some of the other gear. And the thing is, too, you need to buy it now because a lot of the ice fishing stuff is hitting the shelves before we get our first inch of ice out there. And by the time we do get ice, it's already gone.
It's gone. And, you know, this year starting late, last year we did not have a great ice season. And what happens and what people don't realize is, you know, manufacturers net, I mean, they just don't make as much when we have bad years because they don't sell as much the year before. Meaning, so last year was a rough year. They had their wares out. Stores had them. Well, a lot of these retailers carried it over to this year, so they didn't order as much. So the manufacturers didn't produce as much. Yeah, and what happens is when it's years like last year that create a year like this year that once it's gone, you're going to have to wait till the following year to get it.
Well, and that's true, too. For those of you who've never been in the retail industry, that, you know, when you have a bad year, they're going to project that this year is not going to be as good. They're not going to spend as much money because they don't have it to spend.
Right.
And it's going to be very limited. So definitely get out and get your stuff now. If there's something you're looking for or there's something on your wish list, definitely drop that hint awful heavily to the person in your life that will be buying your gifts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, what are some of the new things that you've seen throughout the course of this year for maybe, you know, the ice season as we get ready for that?
Well, you know, of course, there's all sorts of a little more expensive gifts, we'll call it, you know, with the sonars and the underwater cameras. You know, AquaView's got a high-definition underwater camera now that, I mean, it looks better than your flat-screen TV anymore. I mean, really, mm-hmm. just a beautiful thing, and you can watch fish come in and out. You can and discover the underwater world. I mean, that's kind of cool, and they're fairly reasonable. You know, Humminbird's got the Helix 7 ice unit, which you can, you know, you're on the ice. You got a brand-new sonar. It's just really easy to see all that kind of stuff. You know, there's not a ton of really super new things, just a lot of great new colors of different lures and whatnot. For the hunter, one thing I was thinking of, and you can never have enough of, you know, like Plano, for an example, they make all sorts of really cool boxes and whatnot to maybe hold bullets or shotgun shells or even arrowheads and stuff like that, any of your retractable or, you know, expandable broadheads and that kind of thing. They're fairly inexpensive, and it's just something every hunter could use, is something to store all their hunting gear in.
Yeah, because then you'll need more stuff. I know how that works. Having good storage really, really does help. And David A. Rose is our guest here. He's been our guest on our show for many, many years. You can find him on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, on our Meet the Experts page. And now 2017 is coming forth. Do you start planning for guiding this early in the year? I mean, I know it's you know, we got walleye coming up in the spring, steelhead run coming up in the spring. Do you start any booking trips right now, or is it still too early?
You know, I don't do it quite this early. I'll start getting phone calls soon and everything. And I'm like, okay, well, let me know as the time comes in that you're going to be here, you know, the third week of June or something. Because as an outdoor writer myself, I do a lot of trips. I do a lot of traveling. And sometimes, you know, I don't want to book somebody now and then have to cancel them later because I won't be in town, you know, that right. kind of thing. So, and I've limited my guiding. I only do a few trips a year. We're on the inland lakes. We're doing all the smallies, walleyes, muskies, pike, that kind of thing. And, So I'm guiding. I just don't do it quite as much because I'm just so busy with the writing. But yeah, everybody starts thinking about stuff now, and it's just one of those things too to narrow down a date because maybe they're going to be here for a week up in the Traverse City area, and then all of a sudden, you know, the weather's bad on a Tuesday or something, sure. you know, and we might have to move it. So, but yeah, very soon I'll actually start taking deposits and putting stuff in a calendar.
Now, January will mark the start, basically, of the big outdoor shows here in Michigan. Ultimate Fishing Show coming up in January, that pretty much kicks it off.
Yep, the Ultimate Fishing Show, that's down in Novi, there at the Suburban Collection Show Place. I'll be down there. I'll be in charge of emceeing that Lake Ultimate. That's the giant 110,000-gallon lake where there's actual full-size boats in there, and the pros come, and they actually do seminars on the lake in the boats. They're catching fish and stuff while they're doing it. It's really cool. And, I don't even remember the exact dates. It's like the 11th or 12th or something like that. Forgive me for not knowing the dates.
No, it's quite all right because it's about the same time as the Archery Trade Association show,
okay.
Which goes on. And I know Bro will be there. You'll be there in January. Then coming up in February, we have Outdoorama.
Yep, Outdoorama, again, that's at the Novi, in Novi at the Suburban Collection Showplace, too. That's at the tail end of February.
And then March will be into the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids. That's when you can see people on the Grand River usually fishing for steelhead because that starts that early run.
Yep, usually, before the show starts and after the show, I stand there in the giant windows of the DeVos Place and I look out and I go, oh, look, I wish I was fishing.
That was me all last year. I think I went once.
Well, at least you went once. You got your license. You went once. I'm proud of you.
I did, and I did go turkey hunting this year, which my season lasted about 16 minutes, I think, was the most of that. And let's not talk about deer hunting this year because it just didn't happen. It was a very odd year as far as hunting goes, and for me personally, and from what I'm gathering, a lot of other people as well, just not seeing the numbers. There were some great quality deer this year because we had great weather conditions, but the numbers didn't seem to be there. We're going to find out why. So we're going to talk with Chad Stewart in the next hour of the show. But
perfect.
Anything else you want to add, man?
Hey, I just want to wish everybody out there, when it finally comes, you know, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever it is you celebrate, and take some time and get outdoors. You know, we might not have first ice yet, but there's a little bit of hunting, a little bit of fishing to be had, or just get out and walk through the woods.
Yeah, there's a lot of things left to be done. We still have deer season going on in different forms with late bow season, muzzleloader season. There's some late grouse hunting opportunities going on. We'll have probably some late waterfowl seasons yet to go. And get ready for the ice fishing. And then it's back to spring, man. Back to hunting turkeys, which I think is my new favorite thing. Aside from bear hunting, turkeys and waterfowl have taken the place of a lot.
There you go.
David A. Rose, appreciate you joining us. You can find a link to his website on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. First hour of the show already gone, man. We're going to speak with Chad Stewart in hour number two. Find out about that wandering elk. Complete update coming your way next hour here on Wild Michigan. Thanks to Darton Archery, Costa Sunglasses, and Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Links to all of them on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.